Welcome to Grace-Filled Grit. I'm your host, Lana Stinner, and we are chatting all about growing your faith, family, and the backyard farm. Here at the Grace-Filled Homestead, we are having honest, hard, and authentic conversations with some amazing guests about getting back to the basics and what's important in life. We are not for everyone, and we don't clean up our conversations, so you will get the unedited chat. Each episode, you can expect practical tips and encouragement. I am so honored to have you join us today. So grab a cup of coffee and let's do this thing. Hey, friends, welcome back to the Grace-Filled Grit podcast. Today, Pastor Nick Connolly is joining us. Nick is the pastor at Bright City Church and the author of his new book, Don't Give Up Just Yet. Welcome, Nick. We are so glad to have you join us today.
It's so great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I would love for our friends here online to get to know you a little bit better. Do you mind sharing a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely not. My name's Nick, and I live in the wonderful city of Charleston, South Carolina. And I have four kids. They're 17, 16, 15, and 11. And we lead a church in Charleston, South Carolina. My wife and I call Bright City Church, and it's about 10 years old. And so usually most of that keeps us busy, but then we added other stuff to that. My wife leads a wonderful company called Go and Tell Gals, and we've had several entrepreneurial businesses along the way. So we keep a full plate here in the Connolly household.
I love it. And four kids. God bless you. I have four. That's enough in itself, right? And 17. So is that high school? Are you going into the graduating season, or do you have another
yet.
Year
We're
left?
Getting there. Okay. We're getting there. We just did we actually just got back for some college visits. And so this is a whole new world.
Yeah.
A whole new world. And the teens, I feel like you and I need to have like a separate podcast of a therapy session
yes.
to talk through that, but maybe yeah. not right on this one, but I'm learning a lot.
Yeah, it is. Man, kids, there's nothing better. And, you know, while it was so hard and tough when they're little toddlers, you know, mine, I only have one left at home. I have three boys and a girl, and my boys are all out into the world and live nearby and, you know, married and grandkids. And then I have my daughter is just finishing her last year of college. And I tell you what, this is a beautiful season where you can see it. Yeah. Just hang in there. It'll get there because they just, it's neat to have the friendships and the dinners and the, you know, the daughter that used to just think I was the stupidest thing on earth. And now she's like, hey, do you want to go shopping? And she has her own money because she has, you know. So
praise God.
It's a good season. So hang in there. Goodness is coming to you.
Tell me more. Oh, my gosh. That's balm for the soul.
Yes. Hallelujah. So we will have to chat. We'll have to chat another time about that because it is. It's good stuff. So, well, bless you for having four kids. That's pretty neat. That's a job in itself. So on to our topic for today. So many people are struggling right now. And I don't know if it's just who I'm chatting with or my friend group or what it is. Mm. Even the Christians that have a super strong faith, we get so frustrated and discouraged when God is not answering our prayers. And, you know, I'm super impatient. I am not a fan of waiting on God. So speak to those that have been praying over a difficult situation and they feel like God is just silent.
Oh, that's a good question. I battle the silence of God all the time. I feel like sometimes I hear him so loud and clear to get me into something. So for example, maybe starting a church, it was like, oh gosh, like I hear this loud and clear. And then I jump in and I'm like, God, where are you said jump and I jumped and now you're not here anymore. And I don't sense it and feel it like I did before. And so sometimes those moments can cause and sometimes stress and anxiety for people because they're like, oh no, I'm alone. But in the waiting and in the silence, it's just so beautiful when I look back on my life and just see that all that God's doing. I think a lot of times we want God to be this like microwave. And you know, even the Instapot, I'm sure you're familiar with that. Listeners are familiar with that. Like it was our way to bypass the slow cooker. Like if we can't have the microwave all the time and the crock pot isn't fast enough. Let's make the Instapot. Mm-hmm, and, you know, mm-hmm. God really is a slow cooker. Like he's the slow cooker of our soul. And one of the things that I have loved about looking at God's grace and goodness in my own life is that usually I'm so focused on the outcome. Like I'm so mm-hmm. focused on the purpose. I'm so focused on the destination. I usually forget about the process, and God, he's so focused on the process. Mm-hmm. So even when I feel like he's not working on my behalf for the thing that I'm waiting on, he's mm-hmm. actually working in me so that I can be ready for the thing that I'm waiting on. Mm-hmm. And I don't like that. That's mm-hmm. the answer. I don't like that answer, but it is mm-hmm. the answer, is that even when we're waiting, he is working.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is so true. And, you know, it is where you can look back on times like that, like probably when you were starting your church, and I have a handful of those kind of situations, and it was painful. And I mean, I'll be honest, I was mad at God in the moment. And now mm-hmm. I look back and I would have it no other way. Like his yeah. plan was perfect. His timing was perfect. I was fighting it tooth and nail, and I wanted what I wanted, you know, my way. But my goodness. So it is nice, you know, when you get on the backside of those things, you have these, it's like a timeline or a history of God showing up when you wanted it a different way, but he did something yeah. more miraculous than you could dream of. So I love how you phrase that. Definitely. So you talk about resistance and perseverance a lot in your new book, and I love that. What do you suggest for those that feel like they're up against a brick wall literally every day? Like they feel like they heard from God, they're supposed to be doing this thing, and they are just getting a roadblock every other minute. What would you say to them?
That's a great question. You know, when I was first processing this in my own life, every ounce of persistence, I would press pause and I would just be like, okay, God, like I'm heading in the wrong direction here. I'm not heading in the right direction. Let me just find the other direction. And I actually did this a lot in my jobs early on. Like I knew God was calling me into ministry, but I had every job under the sun before I got there. Like I've worked at a Christmas tree farm. I've mm-hmm. even repaired stained glass. Like I have done every odd job there is. And, you know, a lot of times I would get to this place where I was like, oh, I just hate the job. I hate the job. This is it. I've hit a ceiling and it's time to move on. And what I noticed is the thing that was the issue or the pressure point would follow me where I went. And so I would just move again. And then finally, after a while, I felt like God was saying to me, he was like, hey, this is something that's in you that I'm trying to work out and deal with. Mm-hmm. And so if you go to the next place, it's going to follow you there. And I think a lot of times when we experience resistance, I feel like the enemy of our souls tries to trick us and make us believe that we're heading in the wrong direction. So mm-hmm. if it's hard, this is not God's will. Mm-hmm. And what I've realized is that if it's hard, it's probably something that God wants me to do. I mean, think about all of the hard habits you've tried to start in your life. Like a one that I always talk about all the time is when we make commitments to read our Bible in the morning. And so we're like, mm-hmm. I'm going to get up early. I'm mm-hmm. going to set this time aside. I've got the special coffee cup. I've got the like mug that I love and the journal that I love. And it's crisp and it's new and new pens and, you know, start in January. So let's start in Genesis mm-hmm. and, you know, every time I start those adventures in my life, I become more tired. I feel like my kids sleep the worst. Mm-hmm. And I feel like everything is happening so that I can't do the thing that I believe God's asking me to do. And so just stepping back, I just got to the place where I was like, I'm going to choose to see resistance as confirmation rather than resistance. Like I'm mm-hmm. going to choose to see this resistance as the affirmation that I'm heading in the right direction. And it's been crucial for my walk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, that's so good. That's very powerful. So for those of us, so I'm kind of a, like a finish strong, like back, I don't run marathons anymore, but I used to be a marathon runner.
Oh, that's so cool.
Now I barely walk, but, for those that have that mentality, like finish strong, it doesn't matter if your feet are bleeding, you're going to finish this thing. And a push through, stop whining, suck it up kind of person.
Yeah.
What I've, as that type of person, I've found sometimes it's an unhealthy thing because I have that. No, I started this and I'm going to finish it. Is there a point, and how do you know if you have that? I don't want to say it's a character flaw, but that kind of towards, you know, I'm going to finish this no matter what, who it hurts, what happens.
Yeah.
What would you say to those people on finding when it is a healthy time to stop or to, you know, walk away from, you know, maybe it's a business or a project or a job or something like that. What are your tips for finding out if you're making, you know, that right tough choice?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I just want to address what I feel like you were saying is holy stubbornness.
Yes.
I feel like this.
That's my new title.
Here it is. It's sanctified.
Don't tell my husband. He'll start calling me that.
Sanctified stubbornness. That's what we're calling it. And you know, like that is, I mean, when you read the book of Hebrews, like it is a bunch of people who are sanctified and stubborn to see in faith God's will be done. But then, like you were saying, there are times where you're in a job or you're in a position or you're in a place and you're like, I actually don't know if I'm supposed to continue on. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've noticed in my own life is that if it's usually the right thing at the wrong time, it's usually the wrong time. Mm-hmm. Like it's not the right timing for it. And so sometimes there are these things that we desire or long for, and it might be the right thing, but it might be the wrong time. Mm-hmm. And when we started our church plant, we actually wanted to start it in Boston, Massachusetts. Like we were going to go to the Northeast. I mean, God knew me better than I did because I wouldn't have lasted the winters there. I'm a feeble, feeble person when it comes to the cold. But we tried three times and it didn't work out. And so when we stepped back, we were like, hey, this might be the right thing, but this might not be the right place and it might not be the right time. And it wasn't. And so we paused and then eventually God opened up the doors at the right time, the right place. And so, you know, sometimes patience is key. And then the other thing I would say is a lot of times we use religion and let's say grace to guilt people in to perseverance. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there are very harmful situations. They're very like trauma producing situations. And you know, sometimes people will say, you know, and they're meaning well, but it's almost like when I've been in the middle of reading Job and you just listen to Job's friends and you're like, man, I think they mean well, but I don't think they're helping the situation. And sometimes you get in these places where it's actually detrimental to the holistic picture of your life if you stay in this one situation or position. Mm-hmm. If it's toxic, if it's harmful, if it's not good for who you are becoming in Christ, like if it's keeping you from achieving your God-given identity and it is harmful to you, then sometimes a pause and a pivot is exactly what you need. Mm-hmm. Like because I think sometimes we're so focused on the one isolated situation, but we fail to realize like, hey, what if this situation like causes you to spiral and just kind of flutter out for God for a season. Mm-hmm. Like what if staying five more days cost you five more years of your life? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes when you're thinking about the holistic picture, it's like, man, I believe God's called me to something. I believe he has something for me. And in order to get to the 26.2 mile mark, I need to make a change here. And so, you know, I start off the book, I actually quote Kenny Rogers. And I say, you got to know when to hold them. You got to know when to fold them. And you got to know when to walk away. Because sometimes if you don't, that'll get you in more trouble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so good. Yep. I totally agree. Okay. So let's go there. Spiritual warfare. You said it's real. And
We're going.
I mean, we don't hold back on this show. So you have said Satan has a target on your back. So first of all, thank you for tackling this very tough topic, because I think so many American pastors just don't want to go there. We want to focus on the joy and the happiness that comes with being a Christian. And it's not all rainbows and sunshines. And you know, I will even say here in my platform, I mean, mine is baby goats and sunshine and flowers and, you know, and so we all we like that. We want, you know, the joy of Christ and all of that. That's wonderful. But there is this spiritual warfare. And, you know, I will say, like, our family, we're, you know, we've been married over 30 years now. Wow. We've gone through it all. You know, parents' death and kids in the hospital and surgeries, yeah, and, you know, sitting in a principal's office, you know, all the things.
All of it.
All the things. We've been there. And it seems like this last few months has been like unimaginable stuff every single day. And we just said, you know, on Monday morning before my husband left for the fire station, you think this is the week that, you know, it's going to, we're going to get a breakthrough and it's going to be normal, like just normal drama, you know? And sure enough, we get the phone call. My mom's in the hospital and it, you know, spiraling again. And so it's just, and I know that there's so many families that just feel like, wow, it's kind of amped up all of a sudden. The, you know, all the attacks are constant. And so you mentioned, and I'll quote you because I love this quote. You mentioned that if we can learn to see our circumstances with our spiritual eyes instead of just our physical ones, we have a fighting chance. So explain a little bit more about that. I love that quote.
Yeah. Well, thank you, first of all. And second of all, you know, in that chapter, I'm writing about the situation that we had with our daughter. And I think sometimes it is this is happening and it's a casualty of living in this world. Like when you think back to the effects of the garden and sin and how it affects so many things that we don't even think about. Like I was reading something recently and it was talking about how wild creation is. And I was just thinking of, and I was kind of connecting that with Romans 8, how Paul says that creation groans. And I was like, I wonder if creation was actually this like beautiful, perfect place where animals didn't get mad and weather didn't rage. But now that we're living on the effects of the fall, we don't know how much of this is actually affecting it. And so, you know, part of what we're living in is the effects of the enemy thousands of years ago. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other parts where like God has good, purposeful things for his children. Like when I think about the death of Jesus, especially in this season of Lent that we're mm-hmm. currently in right now as we record this, is like I'm thinking about Jesus actually purchasing my life so that I can live in the freedom and the salvation that he has for me. And one of the things I just keep thinking about is God doesn't purchase what he hasn't purposed. And so if you've got a purpose for your life and it involves the kingdom, then we have to know that there is going to be some force out there that does not like that. Mm-hmm. Like he's not going to like Lana being able to bring this incredible message. Like he's not going to like any of that. Like mm-hmm. he's not going to like any of the things that you have going on for God and your listeners too. Like mm-hmm. like the things that we try to do for our families, for our faith, like all of that, like he hates all of it. He hates when marriages work. Oh gosh, mm-hmm. he hates when marriages works. He hates when kids are raised in the joy mm-hmm. of the Lord. Like he hates it. And so all that to say is, okay, so that's the sight. That's kind of how we have to see things. But then the second part of that is, you know, a lot of times when we have things going on that are good in the Conley household, I know that attacks are imminent. And so even in November, it was on the cusp of us going to an extra service at our church. Mm-hmm. We were about to celebrate the holidays with the family. It was about to be the release of my book. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, having never experienced this, I had panic attacks mm-hmm. out of nowhere. Like mm-hmm. I'd never had anxiety. I'd never had any of it. I thought I was having heart issues. Mm-hmm. So I was rushed to the hospital twice. And then finally got back from the hospital the second time. And it started again. And I was like, this is not a medical thing. This is a spiritual thing. Mm-hmm. And that spiritual thing led to 10 nights of not being able to sleep. Like mm-hmm. I did not sleep at night for 10 days straight. And I just remember in those nights, like I would be reading scripture. I was journaling. I was praying. I remember that if I had a friend who wakes up at 4 and I was like, I can text them at 4 a.m., tell them to pray for me. And then I remember who woke up at 5 and I was like, I can text them. And so all that to say is I think so many things that happen in this world, we see what's happening, but we don't see the why behind what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I think if we open our eyes just a little bit more, even though we don't want to, right? Because we don't want to see the hard parts of the kingdom. Like, we don't want to see the dark secrets of the kingdom. But I think, at least in my own life, the more I've opened my eyes to those parts, I've actually seen the goodness of God better. Like, I've actually seen his protection. I've actually seen his faithfulness. I've actually seen just even motivation to press on and press through. Cause I'm like, well, whatever's happened on the other side of this hard trouble must be great, because the enemy does not want it to happen. And I don't know. I just feel like it's honestly freed me up a little bit to say, man, this is, God's about to do something.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that. God's up to something. It makes zero sense to me right now. But either Satan's trying to stop something, or you know, we've said we are in a boxing ring. I mean, that was our family's.
That's what it feels
term.
Like. That's what it feels
my
like.
My boys are wrestlers, and we've said that. Like, we are in the ring, you know, with Satan, and we feel every single day it's okay. I got a new black eye from that one or whatever, but we're going to get back up again. But that's such a good insight to that, because I think so many times God's in it. And he's using it, and definitely we're in a battle, and we need to arm up and press into him, which is hard to not go, you know, numb with whatever, you know, a bowl of ice cream or Netflix or whatever, just to turn your brain off and really, you know, turn to him during that. But it's hard. That's hard to do.
I love how you said that, because I think that's the other part too, is I think maybe some of your listeners might feel this way, and it's like, well, I don't have anything like that going on. Like, I've never had anything like that going on. And, you know, one of the things I've noticed about the enemy is he will use comfort and convenience just as much as he'll use conflict and strife. He does not care. Like, he'll use whatever. And so sometimes he actually lulls us to sleep and we become apathetic and we become comfortable and we're fixed on what's convenient rather than what's for the kingdom. And those are times in my life where I'm more scared. I'm like, oh gosh, I just fell asleep for a second. So I'm so glad you said that. That's such a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. So how do we make these difficult times strengthen our faith instead of us? I'll be honest. I've had seasons in my life where I was literally so mad at God. How do we get out of that and get to where, right when we're starting into the struggle, or wow, this is a big one, this is more than I can handle, instead of getting that mad at God type of thing, I probably shouldn't say that. How do we make it strengthen our faith and turn to him? Because it's such a common concept. It makes sense logically that, of course, you know, this is going to strengthen our faith, and we know we're in the struggle and God's with us and he'll use it for good, all the scriptures, whatever. But like, the reality of my brain and my heart don't say the same signal here. You really get like, can you just make the, can we push the easy button and make this easier? And so how do you do that? How do you get to where it strengthens your faith instead of softens it?
Well, I actually want to go back to one of the first things you said. I think what you said about being angry, you know, and again, like angry at God and angry with God, like, those are things that happen in our lives. But I think what you said is so powerful, because I think sometimes we get to this place where we don't think that we can tell God exactly how we feel and we're like kind of bottling up our emotions, towards God, and, and we don't want to talk to him and we don't want to think about him. And, you know, when I read the Psalms, like the Psalms are just such a beautiful place of emotion. I'm like, me too, David, me too. Yeah. Like, I wanted to say that.
Yeah.
Like,
are you?
I'm glad you said something, because I wanted to say something, but I didn't want to step on anybody's toes. So I just feel like the first thing I would say is you have absolutely 100% have to tell God how you feel, like tell him exactly how you feel. And the beautiful thing about that is it's getting at the crux of what God's already after anyway, and that's mm-hmm. the relationship. Mm-hmm. Like we're so caught up in the details, and He's caught up in the relationship. He like the way we get stronger is when we get softer with Him. Mm-hmm. And so I think telling God exactly how you feel. And then the second thing I would say is I would really, and this is, I'm stealing James' words from, I think it's James 1, where he would say, you know, let that perseverance finish its task so mm-hmm. that we become mature. As I think sometimes we tap out too early mm-hmm. and we don't let the maturation process happen internally in us. Mm-hmm. And so like I was saying earlier with my jobs is I would tap out and then I'd go to the next place. And then I'd be like, oh, wait, that's here again. And mm-hmm. and I, you know, God gently said, like, hey, I want to do this thing in you. And so I think sometimes when we experience hard seasons, we don't allow the work to finish its course. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard. It's so hard. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying any of this is easy. I'm just saying it's easier when you allow the maturation process to take its complete work. So mm-hmm. that you can be finished in the thing that God's developing in you. And I think mm-hmm. if you can do those two things, the rest will take care of itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's good. So as a pastor, how do you balance your ministry and your family and your personal life? Speaking from as someone kind of behind the scenes, I'm a preacher's kid. My dad was a pastor. My grandpa was a pastor, and a little kind of different growing up because my dad was a pilot and then retired early to become a pastor. So I got it closer to the high school age. So, you know, didn't grow up as a youngster as my dad as pastor, but my grandfather was. And so how do you, I got to see the congregation, last minute, there's an emergency, you're pulled away from dinner, there's just constant phone calls, there's, you might be sick and, or having, you know, your own stuff that you're dealing with, but you have to go preach and be on. How do you balance it all?
That's a great question. My wife, she has this, she has a better quote than I'm going to say it, but you know, I think a lot of times we buy into a gospel of balance, and it's actually not that. Mm-hmm. I feel like a life is a lot like whack-a-mole. Do you remember that game?
Yes, I do.
It's like you're just hitting the next thing that pops up. And yeah. and I think honestly, that's a great picture for life. Is I think sometimes the church is good and the family's hard. And I think sometimes the family's incredible and the church is hard. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that has helped me is I've always tried to in every circumstance and situation, just say, hey, listen, God is in control and I just need to let God be God. Mm-hmm. And if God can be God, then it's going to work out so much better than if I like meddle in or try to like fix it. And I'll mm-hmm. give you a great example of this is we were at a church in Indiana and I had a dear friend who I was getting to know. He called me one night and it was like 11 p.m. and I just need you to know that I am in bed before that. Like that's
right.
I'm heading towards bed. And this guy, he was younger. And so he was like, hey, I need to meet right now. And I was like, are you physically hurt? Is everything okay? And he was like, yeah, I'm physically okay. And I was like, okay, I tell you what, everything that you want to tell me, you tell God tonight and then come over to the house.
That's for good.
Breakfast tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And so I hung up the phone and my wife was like, what are you doing? Like, what did you just tell him? Like, do you need to go? Like, you need to go right now. Like, why did you just tell him to tell God? And then everything is going to be like, she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, it's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. Well, the guy comes over the next day and he looks like he's seen a ghost. And I was like, hey, are you okay? Like, what's going on? He was like, well, I got to be honest. Like, I thought I was a believer, but I was not. I talked to God and I'm telling you, this is the first time that I've ever expressed salvation in Jesus being my Lord. And so in that moment,
wow, that you're giving me goosebumps.
that situation taught me that it is, I mean, cause we always say it like, it's just give it to God. And I'm telling you, when we do that, it always works out better than if I jumped in. If I jumped in, I probably would have like said like, oh man, you're great. You're doing fine. Like everything's fine. Like it's going to be great. And, you know, he just needed to talk to God for the first time. And so I think about that with life. I think about that with ministry. I think about that with my family. Like they're like, we cannot do it all. Mm-hmm. Balance is not achievable. Mm-hmm. And so we're playing a game of whack-a-mole, and then we've got to decide that every mole that jumps up, we've got to give it to God. And that's the balance. And it never, man, I like even think about the concept of date night, you know, like that's such a great topic for marriages is date night. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But when you think about the proportion of your week that you spend working or doing other things, and then you have this date night, like it's not proportional to my love for my wife, right? Like 2 hours is not how much I love my life. Right. And so it's not the balance, but I tell you what, in that 2 hours or 3 hours, I'm going to make the best of it that I can. Yeah. And I really think that that's what we're all out here doing. We're all just trying to make the best of those moments that we can. And I think sometimes balance is a false gospel that the world teaches and culture teaches. And it's like, I can't die trying to achieve that because it's not obtainable.
Right. Right. And prioritizing. I mean, that's you obviously too. Like you prioritize that date night. Like, somebody better be dying if I'm canceling this.
Exactly.
Because I really need it with four kids.
I'm going to need to know your medical statistics right now before I come to your house. Like, what's your heartbeat at?
There you go. There you go. I love it. I love it. Okay. Well, tell us about your book. You have this wonderful book that's Don't Give Up, Choosing Persistence in a World of Overwhelming Resistance. And boy, that's a timely message. So tell us a little bit about it and where we can find it, all the things.
Mm-hmm. Everyone I talk to usually has this grand desire or dream in their life. They're like, man, I really want to see this happen. I really want to see that happen. I have this dream to do this thing. I have this dream for my family. I have this dream to move out to this piece of land and do all these things. And, you know, so many people think about the dream and so little people think about the resistance that's going to happen on the way to the dream. And so really when I wrote Don't Give Up Just Yet, as I said, you know, if Galatians 6:9 is true, let us not grow weary in doing good, for we will reap a harvest at the proper time if we do not give up. I feel like there's so many people in this world missing out on the harvest that God has for them because they gave up. And so I was like, I can't go to coffee with everyone. Like I can't just sit down over a cup of coffee with everyone. So how do I write a letter to people selling them to keep going? Because I really do want people to see the promises that God has for them. And so that's essentially the book is I talk about how we can befriend resistance. I talk about how we can outlast the onslaught of life. Because as you mentioned earlier, like things happen. And then I talk about how we can choose persistence in the midst of resistance. And so really, ultimately, I just want to see people walk in the purposes and the plans that God has for them. And I just feel like so many people give up before they get there. And then they say, God's not good, or God didn't love me. And I'm asking the question of what if he does love you? But what if you gave up too soon? And so I just want to help people make it to the finish line.
It's good. It's good. So where can they find your book?
You can find it anywhere. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all over the place. And it's out there where you would normally buy your books. And then my Instagram is nconnolly. And then my website is nickconnolly.co. And I've actually got a few little pieces of merch there. People love the merch. Yes. The kids love the merch.
Yes, they do. They do. And we will link all of that in our show notes. So in case you're looking for some merch and the book, we'll link the book in there as well too. So, well, Nick, thanks for coming on. I appreciate this message. I think you're a voice that just speaks truth into it. You hit some topics that a lot of pastors, you know, kind of fluff over a little bit. And so I love that you are not afraid to, you know, tell it how it is and deal with the hard stuff. And it's a good book. I highly recommend it. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you for joining us today in this episode of Grace-Filled Grit. I know that your time is valuable and I truly appreciate you being here. I hope it was helpful and that you'll share it with a friend. In order to schedule amazing guests on our show, we could use some good reviews. So if you've enjoyed this episode, I'd be honored if you could head over to the podcast app on your phone, tap the album art for the Grace-Filled Grit podcast, scroll down to the bottom of the page, and write a review. I'm looking forward to our next episode, and I hope you'll join us again. Blessings to you today, friend, as you live out your own grace-filled grit.